What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Surfing the Stream, where every week we're on a quest to find out what is the greatest movie of all time. I am Matt Primo, joined by Dick.
What's up, bitches?
And we are back this week reviewing a movie that, to say that Josh wasn't trying to shove this fucking movie down my neck for the last fucking month and a half would be an understatement, okay? Because every time I talk to this dude, we'd be talking about something completely random. And like, hey, I cut my yard the other day. Yeah, that's cool. But when are we reviewing Elysium? And I'm just like, God damn, bro. How many times are you going to fucking bring up this goddamn movie?
Coming from the guy that keeps shoving Jake Gyllenhaal down my fucking neck. Hey. I just jerked off to this. I just jerked off to this movie. I need you to fucking see it too.
But with that being said, like I said, we are here today to review Elysium, a movie that has been it's one of those purgatory. It's what I call a purgatory movie. It sits in your watch list for forever, and you never fully commit to it until now. So expectations are going to be one thing when you go into this movie. But I remember talking to Creston right before I watched it, and I was like, yeah, you know, this week we're reviewing Elysium, and like I said, Josh keeps fucking trying to shove that shit down my neck, and it's kind of fucking weird because it's a sci-fi movie, which is definitely not in his wheelhouse. And Creston was like, nah, man, that shit's good, just fucking wait. I was like, alright, we'll fucking see, we'll see. So definitely interested to see how Josh feels about this movie that he's been fucking trying to watch for the last 3 weeks. But with that being said, let's fucking jump into this shit. Elysium. In the year 2154, the very wealthy live on a man-made space station. Wait, I read that wrong. Okay, let's start over, guys, okay?
Dumb motherfucker. I can't fucking read my...
Commas are a big thing when it comes to reading shit.
Words are hard.
In the year 2154, the very wealthy live on a man-made space station while the rest of the population reside on a ruined Earth. A man takes on a mission that could bring equality to the polarized worlds. This was directed by Neil Blomkamp. All I could think of was Blumpkin. The entire
I legit thought that's what you just told me.
And that's what I'm going to call him from now. Neil Blomkamp. He has directed Gran Turismo, which was a movie that came out last year. Not a terrible movie by any means. It was, I don't know if entertaining would be the word that I would use for it, but it was a watchable movie. He also directed Demonic, District 9, which I have not seen, but I've heard a lot of great things about that movie. And also Chappie, which, I don't know. District 9, Chappie, and Elysium all kind of fucking look the same to me. With the robots and shit. But this movie had a budget of $115 million, and it grossed $286.1 million. It stars Matt Damon, Jodie Foster, and Charlton Copley? Yeah. It has a runtime of 1 hour and 49 minutes, and it was released August 9th, 2013. I have three fun facts for you. In 2015, director Neil Blomkamp expressed his dissatisfaction with this film in an interview shortly before the release of Chappie in 2015. He claimed to have felt that he could have delved further into the film's story. Just pin that for just a second. We're going to come back to that, okay, at some point during this review. This is TriStar Pictures' first big-budget release since The Mask of Zorro, which came out in 1998. That is the GOAT film, for those wondering out there. The greatest of all time, Josh. I don't know if you knew what that stood for, but that's what it stands for. Not to call you dumb or anything, but...
Do you know what SON stands for?
I'm not sure I do. Not sure I do there, sir. I have a vivid picture in my head.
Interesting.
The most interesting fun fact of this was Eminem was offered the lead role in this movie, but he turned it down because Blumkin would not change its location from Los Angeles to Detroit. Could you imagine Eminem in this movie instead of Matt Damon?
No, Matt Damon is the real Slim Shady.
How was that? Couldn't have said it better myself.
That was so fucking corny, but
it fucking worked, dog.
I had everybody wanted me to say it, so I did it for them.
Yes.
This is coming from the guy that fucking dyed his hair like fucking Eminem when he was 16.
That was a classic moment in my life. Okay, that's a moment I'll never forget. Coming home, or me coming out of my bedroom, and then all I hear is, it sounds like someone is about to kill another person. And that's what it sounded like. The way mom was yelling at you that day.
The irony is I have no hair now.
And what's funny is, if I ever had thoughts of dyeing my hair, I walked back in my room after that, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing it now.
Not worth it.
Which, to be fair, 90% of the thoughts that came through my head got thrown out based off of y'all fucking up.
Yeah, we were good at that. We were good at getting caught, that's for damn sure.
Right. All right, so expectations, I feel like, could play a huge part in this movie. What were your expectations going into this? Other than, obviously, you really wanted to see it because it looked interesting.
I tell you, I actually went into this movie and wanted to watch it based off a TikTok little scene. And so I had high expectations because it's Matt Damon, but I also had low expectations because I don't like sci-fi. So I was in the middles.
Yeah? You were like cautiously optimistic?
Very cautious.
I, like I said, this has been in my watch list purgatory for years. I was working at the theater when this came out, 2013. Wait, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. I was not at the theater at that time. But regardless, I expected a kind of like a middle-of-the-road sci-fi action movie. I wasn't expecting anything too deep. Shout out. But... No. I'm the gladiator, man. I just want to be entertained. And that's just what my expectations were going into this. So how did your expectations, I guess, mold your view of this movie, sir? What did you think about it?
You know, I fucking hate this movie. But there is a surprisingly specific reason why. I thought the story was good. I thought Matt Damon's acting was incredible. I thought Jodie Foster was such a fucking bitch.
Okay, we're coming back to the acting, okay? And just,
you didn't like his acting?
I mean, I don't know if incredible would be the word I would use.
I mean, for Matt Damon, it was. Is it his best work? By no. By far, no. But it was good.
No, you said incredible.
Oh, hell. And I'm sure we'll just move on. Jodie Foster was such a fucking bitch. She ended up being such a good villain. But I felt like they tried to make that soldier a villain, too. And I don't think it was a very good feeling. So I had some issues with the storyline toward the end, mostly. But the one reason I would never watch this movie again is cinema photography alone.
You would never watch this movie because of
that? Never watch it again. I hated this movie. I was glad it was over with. A 5-year-old could have held the camera stealer than this dude did. All that jarring and shit. Yeah, all that jarring while they're in action sequences and running. I'm like, bro, what am I on fucking FaceTime with Caitlin here? Sit the fuck still. It legit pissed me off, man. I was like, I am so glad this is going to be over with. And I had never been that pissed off at somebody's camera work.
Well, I think we learned a valuable lesson here that maybe you shouldn't pick sci-fi movies anymore.
Yeah, take that, fucking Chuck Bungalow.
So I'm definitely higher on this movie than you. I thought it was good. I don't think it's something. Let me rephrase this. I think if this movie sat in my purgatory for the rest of my days, I wouldn't be upset by not watching it. But now that it is officially crossed off my fucking list, I'm happy. I can move on with my life. I think it is a serviceable action flick. And it's a tale of two stories, honestly. Because I think the first 30, 40 minutes before the actual action portion of the movie starts, I think it's actually a pretty damn good movie. Up to that point. The first 30 minutes... Minutes. I can't fucking talk. The first 30 minutes do a really good job of bringing you in to that movie with the lore and the world that they're building. It's very interesting to me. But once it kicks into the action portion of it, like you said, I'm not a huge fan of the camera work. I think they could have done better with that. And I don't think the action is just overly inventive. It doesn't feel original to me whatsoever. It feels like any other run-of-the-mill sci-fi action movie. And I think that's the biggest issue with the entire movie. But I thought it was good. Am I going to sit here and say, hey, you as a viewer or a listener, go out and watch Elysium right the fuck now? No. Not by any means. It was a one-time watch, and it's not something I'm ever going to watch again.
I don't appreciate you fucking pointing at us like that.
Right?
Ah, man, that guy fucking pointed at us like we fucking left the seat up or something.
Bad Josh. So I want to dive into this movie in a couple of different areas. One, I want to talk about the world and the lore, because I think that plays a huge portion of what I do enjoy about this movie. And then we can jump into the acting and then some individual action scenes and shit like that. What did you feel about the overall world that they were building? Not necessarily the camera work or anything like that, but just the world that these characters lived in.
I find it interesting, mostly because we're in a time where a lot of people believe the elites of the world are treated and live 10,000 times better than the workers of the world. So I appreciated that aspect of it. Because, you know, you look down at Earth and it's a fucking shithole. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's running around. And up there, they're like, let's go golfing.
Pinky's out.
And, you know, I don't want to get political, but it follows that spectrum. Because, you know, they have unlimited health care there. They have the technology to do it, but the people on Earth are, you know, don't have the same access, which is kind of how it is now, you know. So I thought it was a great yin and yang.
This dude is yin and yang. I think they did, like I said a second ago, I think they do a great job of laying that groundwork in less than 10 minutes of this film. Whether that's the way it looks, you know, how the justice system works, how collapsed everything is, etc. And that's all before they actually reveal Elysium itself in the sky. And I think the dichotomy between the two areas is vastly different, and I love the world that this movie is set in. And I think the movie itself, the film, the story and all that, never lives up to the hype of the world that they actually built for this movie. And I think that is the biggest issue with the entire movie. So we have Earth, which is kind of a barren wasteland. It's dirty, sandy and gray, poor people, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have Elysium, which is lively, vibrant, full of life, rich, clean, etc.
This guy just said, "I have fucking etc."
Et cetera.
You're so fucking classy.
I am. Pinky's out, Dan. I've
never been so fucking turned on in my life.
But for how great the movie sets up everything, and, you know, it kind of sucks you into that world, one issue with that entire aspect, I don't feel like they developed Elysium enough. Okay, we get it. The rich people live up there. It looks great. And they can just get in a little pod, a little CT scanner or some shit, and then they're automatically healed, right? But how does life work up there? I mean, did you see anybody other than politicians up there? Like, the people that were actually running the shit? You never really saw anybody at home. Like, every house that they crashed into, nobody was home. And
it was an up-and-coming neighborhood.
Up-and-coming, yeah, right? No, there's nobody there. So, I don't feel like they develop that aspect of the story at all. Like, how do they breathe up there? I mean, like, you can just literally just fly right into this thing and you're there. Is there, like, a force field that, I don't know, keeps the oxygen in? Or, like, how the fuck does it work? Like, you legitimately just see 10 people that are on this fucking Elysium, and it's like, okay. I don't know if this might not be a place for the rich. This may be just a place for 10 people. That's really what it comes down to.
You know, I didn't even think about that. The gravity there, I didn't even fucking think about that.
Yeah, how did it fucking get up there? Like, we don't dive into the actual deep history of this movie. And when I said a second ago to kind of pin this little fun fact where he said he could have felt like he could have dived further into the film's story, I 100% fucking agree with that. Yeah, the actual plot of the film, where he wants to go to Elysium because he got hit with a bunch of radiation and all that, yeah, okay, that's fine. That's a serviceable story. But you have so many unanswered questions here. How did it fucking get up there? Who is the guy that developed all this? Like, there's so many fucking questions that you have, and they don't ask all of it.
He sounded like a fucking owl. Who was up there?
This dude is so fucking butthurt that I corrected him earlier. He's fucking trying to...
Hey, don't fuck with me, Mr. Owl.
I fucking hate you so much. But on the surface level, I think the world that they have built is very interesting, and it kept me invested in a story long enough to watch the fucking 1 hour and 45 minute long movie.
I do have a question, though. Do you feel like this had too many villains?
I mean, it had two?
No, it had...
Jodie Foster.
No, Jodie Foster. It had the CEO,
and it had,
and then it, the soldier. So it had three.
Kruger.
Yeah. So it had three.
Was he really? With the CEO. Who are you talking about? The guy that got shot in the plane.
Yeah, because he. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a antagonist to me, John Carlisle.
Waiting. So incredible. I mean, it was just good.
But then you had the three bodyguards that were with the soldier. Well, two of them. So two helpers with the soldier. So three total, for those who didn't math that together.
This dude, I'm surprised you didn't have to use your fingers.
He was a fucking dick. I felt like it was too many.
I mean, they're villains, but I don't think I would actually call them villains. I think they're just henchmen. So, do they really even count? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'm throwing up air quotes for y'all. Sharks with freaking laser beams. That's a Austin Powers reference there for those uninitiated.
Well, they wouldn't be listening if they didn't know Austin Powers.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. No, I didn't have a problem with the villains. I thought Jodie Foster. I don't know. Since we're getting into this, let's jump into the acting. Jodie Foster's character. I will give her props. She tried in this movie, okay? She tried what was given to her. She just wasn't given a whole lot to work with here. And she tried to make a memorable villain in this movie. No fault of her own, I don't think it really helped. Because she threw in some kind of accent or something in there. And I'm like, I can't tell if you're trying to be funny with the accent or not. But to be fair, guys, to be fair, full disclaimer, Josh and I are not the best at recognizing accents.
I'm not even going down that fucking road.
This dude had a terrible Irish accent. He's from Ireland.
I couldn't stand that dude's Boston accent. That was bullshit. Yeah, he was born in Boston. I'm going to have to disagree slightly, man. I think she did pretty fucking good for what was wrote for her, because I was like the whole time, oh, this is, lady is such a fucking bitch. And she had the bitchy-ass looks on her face, too. I was like, I'm sold.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I think, honestly, she's one of the best parts about the entire movie. I don't think she's given a lot to work with. She definitely elevates the material here.
The only thing I could critique is Matt Damon should have, when her neck was bleeding, he should have been like, what did the lamb say to you, Clarice? And I'd have been fucking, what the hell, you guys eating them out over there.
How do you think I married my wife? I thought she was definitely one of the best parts about the entire movie. Matt Damon, I wouldn't say he's incredible. I thought he was serviceable. He was fine. I mean,
he was serviceable. Them two are
service, all right. I felt like them two were definitely the best parts about the entire movie. Krueger. I want to talk about this dude, okay? How the fuck you want to say his name? Copley. What did you think about his performance? I wasn't a fan of it.
No, two reasons. I felt like it was over the top in a bad way.
Yep.
And I couldn't understand what the fuck he was saying 90% of the time. I don't know if it was his accent or the way he acted that accent. I'm not familiar with this guy. If it wasn't for closed captioning, I would have, all I heard was,
I'm going to leave that one alone. No, I 100% agree with you. I think his performance was way over the top in comparison to the rest of the movie. If the movie didn't have a serious vibe throughout the entire film, I could understand going over the top, but the rest of the film doesn't support what he does with his character. And I didn't have a problem. Listen, I have subtitles on whenever I watch movies, so it doesn't really bother me any. His character is intriguing. Like, let me put it this way. So you know how I feel like they didn't write Jodie Foster's character very well, and I feel like she elevated that character. I thought they wrote Krueger's character to be very intriguing, but the acting did not elevate that character in any way. So he kind of fell flat for me. And the fact that he became the main villain at the very end, I was like, we could have gone a different route, I think, maybe. I understand why he was the final villain, but I don't know. He just wasn't good. He just wasn't as good as Jodie Foster's character to me.
I 100% agree on that. I Yeah, I don't know. It's just.
The characters, most of the characters in this film were better than the performances that were given, with the exclusion of Jodie Foster and Matt Damon.
Yeah. For some odd reason, I don't know, it felt like we were led into wanting more from Jodie Foster's character than the other guy. Because, you know, it was set up at the beginning that she was twisted and backhanded and, you know, would do anything to any point, and it's like she got taken out way too early in the action sequences, I believe.
Girl got fucking shanked in the damn neck, dude. Was not expecting that.
Yeah, but why didn't they just put her in that machine and she got fixed? The other guy got his fucking head smashed, and they were like, he's going to be upset when he gets up.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So yeah, I thought overall the acting was fine. Nothing to write home about. But in terms of just individual scenes, let's talk about the weapons for a second, because I feel like a sci-fi action movie, you gotta have some cool ass weapons in there, okay? They gotta be fucking dope. What did you think about the weapons in this movie? Like,
I don't know. Some of them were cool. Some of them was like, that's like so fucking. I'm fucking. It's not gonna connect. I done forgot what the hell I was gonna say.
Do you smell burnt toast?
What's that Xbox game that everybody? Halo. It reminded me of Halo. You know, that little gun that you would shoot, it would fucking freeze your hand, and you'd be like, shh.
I'm surprised you know anything about Halo.
I played quite a bit of Halo.
Oh, okay then. I'm fucking Mr. Big Shot over here.
Hey, get back, bitches.
No, I agree with you. I think that they had some pretty cool weapons, and there was like two or three of them that were really cool. And then everything else, they were like, I mean, let's just throw in some regular guns. And it's like, that's kind of boring, like for a sci-fi movie. But they do have some like little explosives that get attached to like that dude that was running, you know, when he was in the airplane, and it like tracked him and attached to his back and then fucking exploded him. I was like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Honestly. I mean, that was up there, and I even feel like the guns up in Elysium were a little bit better than the ones they had on Earth. But he kept throwing them down, like, you know, I'm pretty sure they're fucking rechargeable. What a wasteful asshole.
Right?
Because, I mean, it's sci-fi, so it should be like unlimited ammo, I think.
No, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Like, what the fuck is this? Why the fuck are we reloading shit?
Tell that to the creators of Halo, because them motherfuckers are stingy with their shit.
Right. Now, I want to talk about one thing. All right, and this kind of goes back to Krueger being too over the top. Could have potentially been a really cool character. And I say that because Krueger's a goddamn ninja, man. Dude has a fucking samurai sword. Like, you bring a samurai sword with a villain in a sci-fi action movie, the potential is there, okay? The potential is fucking there, and they just fucking squander that shit. That dude whips out the samurai sword, and I'm like, this dude fucking brought a sword to a gunfight, and he's fucking whipping ass with it. And then he gets his face blown off, and which looked pretty fucking cool, I think.
I mean, I can't deny that part.
And then the facial reconstruction aspect of it looked pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
Which begs the question, do you think, like, was it really needed in the story for that to happen? I think they really just wanted to show off something cool. Like, hey, like, this doesn't really make sense in the movie because his brain's going to be intact even though we're going to blow his fucking face off. But let's, like, reconstruct his face back to normal.
I felt like it was the cliche in horror movies that he has to die twice. And, you know, I'm a, I fucking hate that about movies. I wish it would be a one kill deal. You know, like some of the Winnie the Pooh one we watched.
Which, hey, by the way, number two just came out, bruh.
Hey. Yeah.
Did you fucking hear about this shit? They're starting a Pooniverse.
I want him.
I'm not fucking joking, guys. That is what it's fucking called. The creators have said they're creating a Pooniverse, a universe of horror movies with Winnie the Pooh.
I want to be invited.
I'm like, could we call this a different name by any chance? Like, just any name. That's we fucking landed on.
I just don't think it's necessary for somebody to die twice in a film for it to be good. You know, I think it takes away, actually.
Y'all love how Josh completely just changed that subject of that I was on, talking about fucking Winnie the Pooh, and he was just like, yeah, I don't really care about talking about that too much. I'm going to go back to this movie.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Putin.
No. Pooniverse.
Oh, sorry, but
we're talking about the opposite end. or actually a little bit further.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know where it was at.
And welcome to my A&P class.
Yeah,
I don't know where to go from there.
My favorite scene, man, of this whole movie is when Matt Damon is trying to get on the bus, and the guard is like, what's in the bag? He says, mostly air products. And the dude's bald. I said, fuck yeah. And that robot was like, are you making fun of me? He says, no, I am not. I don't know, man. I laughed my ass off on that.
See, why didn't they carry that for the rest of the movie? That shit was good.
It was, man. And that's actually like, part of the TikTok I'd seen was when he was like, mostly hair products.
So it's almost kind of like he became, like, I get it. The dude fucking got radiation poisoning and shit like that, and he was sick and shit like that. But to be fair, he takes pills one time when he was sick, and then he's never sick the rest of the entire movie, by the way. But it's like the second he gets the radiation poisoning, he becomes a completely different character. He's not throwing out the jabs or being sarcastic or anything like that. Like, what the fuck, guys? Y'all should have kept that shit. That would have, I think, like I said, this goes back to my point of this being kind of a tale of two different movies. If they would have just kept some continuity with the world building and some of the characters throughout the second half of the movie, I think the movie would have been a lot better.
I can't argue that.
Now, two things I want to point out before we close out this episode, okay? And these are two lines in the movie. I swear to God, if they don't fucking stop showing balloons every time I say something.
I feel like it was connected to your two.
Two.
But it didn't work.
No. I don't know. What if I loved it at the end when...
You loved it.
When old dude is like, hey, Frey, do you remember what I promised when we were kids? And she's like, yes. Huh? How the fuck do you remember what he promised you as kids? Like, bitch, you probably said lots of things as a kid. Like, I don't know. To me, that just felt like a stupid-ass fucking line in the movie.
Agreed.
And then the second quote that I have here, and it was the funniest thing, and I get it that it means something different in Spanish, guys, but... Just fucking, this is just what I initially thought of before I thought about the actual meaning. She called her daughter Chiquita. I was like, did you just call her a fucking banana?
Those views are not the views of Two Game Podcast or Stirping the Stream.
I'm like, bruh, what the fuck? To be fair, guys, okay, ignorance, okay, I Googled it, and it means, like, small child or some shit like that. So, but still, my initial thought was like, you just called her a fucking banana. Well, okay.
Weird. I want to say, find the first Mexican child and do that, just to see if everybody's like, this guy knows Spanish, or is like, who the fuck is this racist motherfucker?
Yeah. But all right, man. Give me your score and overall thoughts, closing thoughts about Elysium.
I give it a one.
I'm like very handsy today. I don't know what's fucking going on here.
I don't know, but I kind of like it. I give it a one, man, and 100% based on the cinematography. I would never fucking watch this movie again based on that. It's too jarring. It's too shaking. It adds nothing to the film. It takes away from the film. But on the other token, if you want to fucking get dizzy and look at that dumb shit, then if the camera work was better, I'd give it a 3.
I'm going with a 3. I initially, like, as soon as I ended the movie, I was like, eh, that's a 3.5. But after a couple days of thinking about it, I think I'm going to stick with a 3. I think a 3 is a good score for this movie. Josh is not wrong about the camera work here. I didn't have nearly as much of an issue with it. Honestly, I don't think I really even noticed it that much until you pointed it out as a huge issue. And I'm like, yeah, it was kind of jarring at times, but not anything that distracted me from the entire movie. Like I said earlier, this is not something that I'm going to recommend that you go out and watch right now. If you are bored on a weeknight, weekend night, whatever the fuck, and you have this movie in your watch list and you're like, you know what, it's time to finally cross this off my list, by all means, go watch it. But not something I'm gonna sit here and recommend to the masses to go watch as soon as you listen to this review. But yeah, I'll give it 3 stars.
I just got one thing, one question real quick. Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the center of this Tootsie Pop?
Sir.
1, 2, 3.
Hold up. Whatever you just did with your fucking tongue there was fucking fantastic.
Was that during your time? Do you remember that commercial? Or was that before your time?
No, that was during my time.
Okay. Well, you looked at me like I had a monkey coming out of my ass.
I mean, that's not wrong, but no. I thought it was funny that you were going that route, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let him finish this. See where he takes this. But now I see why you're married. I'm at the very end of that.
Hey, we all have talents.
Right? Hey, we've got to live. Gotta hit the hits, you know what I'm saying? Go with the all time hits here.
I'm a teacher over here at the Pooniversity.
Hey, you fucking went off away from what I was talking about. You don't get to come back to the Pooniverse, okay? us Pooniverse fans are gonna stick together on this.
Hey.
And just so y'all know, we are 100% going to fucking watch Winnie the Pooh 2, okay? Fuck y'all.
Hopefully it's not as creepy as the last one.
No, I absolutely disagree with you. I hope it's just as creepy. But anyways, guys, we appreciate y'all joining us for this review and supporting us. Links down below takes you to our Patreon, which is how you can support us monthly. Also takes you links to our social media accounts. If you are watching us on YouTube, you can catch us on any of the podcast apps for the audio-only version. And vice versa. If you're listening to us, you can catch us on YouTube or Spotify with the video versions of this episode. Next week, we are going to review, and I already fucking know what Josh is going to say. We're going to watch the new remake of Roadhouse, okay? I've heard that this movie is so bad, it's good, and it's a lot of fun, so I'm very interested in seeing it. I don't have high expectations for it, okay? I'm actually going to say that I'm not going to enjoy it because I really love the OG Patrick Swayze version.
Well, who's the lead actor in this film?
What's his? Conor McGregor?
Ah.
Yeah.
He's
the lead.
Ah, but huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Apparently he's a really good villain in this movie. So we'll see. I don't think anybody else is in this movie, by the way.
Oh, well, damn, my mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mistake.
But yeah, y'all go ahead and check out Roadhouse, which is on Amazon Prime. I would actually recommend going and checking out the OG version. I think it's on HBO Max, or it might also be on Prime as well. But if you have not seen the OG version, go fucking watch it. That is actually a great, great movie. But with that being said, that's going to be it from us, and we will catch y'all next time on another review. Laters.
Later.